Shalom, shalom to one and all. This is Yoshua, and it's time for Take 10 for Torah, Parshas Tazria Mitzora edition. We've got a jam-packed week this week. I want to discuss a couple of ideas, some well-known ideas, and maybe we can give a little bit of a nuanced approach based off of the Torah of Chassidus to understand what we are talking about. Tazria begins speaking about the laws of ritual purity, of Tuma Vitara for humans after childbirth, etc., etc. And the well-known question is asked by Rashi and by the Medrash, I don't understand. Why do we first speak about the laws of purity regarding animals? Last week, we ended off speaking about the kashros of animals, which animals are kosher, which animals aren't. And then this week, we speak about the ritual purity laws of humans. Why don't we first speak about humans, and then afterwards, we speak about animals? Why is it done in this order? So Rashi brings down the Medrash. In the name of Rav Samloi, Amar Rav Samloi, Kishem Shitzi Raso Shal Adam Achar Kol Behema Chayav Of, B'maisa Bereshis, the same way that in the Genesis story, animals were created first and then humans were created afterwards, so too here, we should be taught in the same order. We are emulating, we are echoing the order of the Genesis. First animals and then humans. Aye, but many of the Mefarshim, specifically within the world of Chassidus, ask an important question. This question is found within the Shemi Shmuel of Sukachev, the second Sukachev Rebbe, one of the Chassidic masters, the Sfas Emes, second Ger Rebbe also asks a similar question. I thought that we already have been speaking about humans. I thought that we have been speaking about humans since the beginning of this Sefer Vayikra. We first learned about Karbanos. Is that not talking about the laws of purity, the laws of kapara, of atonement for humans? Why do we first speak about humans and then afterwards we speak about animals? I thought that the order of the Genesis was first animals and then humans. It doesn't seem to be consistent. So the Shemi Shmuel brings down another Medrash, a Medrash Rabbah, if you look in Perek Yodalad and Vayikra, which says the following. If a person is zacha, if a person is deserving, we say to him that he came first, that you preceded all of creation. But if not, let's say a person doesn't follow the will of God, isn't zacha, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at him and says, the yitush, the mosquito preceded you. So what does that mean? So the Shemi Shmuel says, here's the deal. If you look through the Medrash Rabbah and Perek Ches of Bereshis, the Medrash teaches that in reality, the soul of humans was created first. On the first day of creation, the neshama, the nefesh of humans were created. On the last day, on day six of creation, the body was created. First soul was created and then body was created. So what's the deal? If we identify as a neshama, if we walk through life living as a neshama, and that's who we really are, and all of our bodily desires aren't controlling us, but we are controlling it. The dog wags the tail and the tail shouldn't wag the dog. So if we identify as a neshama, which was created on the first day, then in reality, what happens? In reality, we were created first because we were created on the first day. But let's say we identify as a body and we let the body control us, the tail wags the dog, then we were born on the last day of creation, on day six. And in that case, the yitush, the mosquito, did precede us. And that's the truth. So really, the order is consistent. We start off with Vayikra, with Karbanos, with offerings, which speaks about the laws of soul, of purification, of atonement, of getting close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then afterwards, we speak about the laws of the skin, the laws of the body, tsaras, and all of those things. And the animals fall in between there as well. So in reality, that's what we are doing. And there's a tremendous Musar Haskel here, things that we should be taking to heart, that we learn from the Shemi Shmuel over here. How do we identify? When I wake up in the morning, when I say, Mode ani lefanecha, who is the I? Mode ani lefanecha, I thank you, I admit before you, who is the ani, who is the I? Rabbi Nachman Likutei Moran, Os Chaf Beis, has a haunting line. Atzmi hi haneshama, shehi etzem adam. Myself, my essence, is the soul, which is the essence of man. Ki igar atzmius shi etzem hakayam la'ad. That is what is eternal. That is who I really am. Mashenikra etzel ha'adam ani. What man refers to as the ani, as the I, hi ha'neshama, that is the soul. When I say, Mude ani lefanecha, I thank you, I admit before you, Hashem, the ani is the neshama, is the soul. That's who we really are. Everything else that we identify as, all of the externalities, all of the social and cultural innovations, all of those things aren't the true I. Rav Kook writes, I want to quote you two beautiful quotes from Rav Kook. One's found in Orot and Chelak Gemal Kufmen. Ha'ani ha'pnimi eno miskala la'adam. The true I is not revealed to man. Va'ani besocha gola, which he quotes from Yechezkel. The I is in exile. I can't see the I all the time. It's hard for me to find it. It's my job to find the I. And then he writes in Shemona Kvatzim, Chelak Gimel, Chaf Dalid, Es ha'ani shalanu nivakesh. Let us seek the true I. Es atzmenu nivakesh v'nimsa. Let us seek ourselves and find. We need to find ourselves. We need to live as who we really are. Because if we do that, then we are living truth. No one can define us. No one can push us aside. And no one can make us think that we are anything besides for a soul. We are inherently holy, a chilek eloka mimal, a portion of the above, a portion of God, that spark of God, that ray of God, a part of Ein Sof, the infinite one. That is who we really are, and that's how we must identify, because that is the identity that is above all identities, that is above everything else. Wow. And on that note, once we recognize who we really are, it's important for us to understand what our tafkid is, what our mission is in life. And ultimately, it's to spread godliness, it's to reveal godliness. As the Ramban writes at the end of Parshas Bo, Lo dos l'chol yachet l'b'yava, which is the summation of what he really thinks is our purpose in life. It's to recognize God, it's to reveal God, it's to laud God. He says that there's a tremendous mitzvah, the Ramban writes that there's a tremendous mitzvah of davening in public, b'tzibor, in a beit knesset, in a shul, because that's why we are here, in order to publicly proclaim God's unity, in order to publicly reveal God, to see him in the daily hustle and bustle of life. Another thing we must focus on, everybody, is we know that there's the concept of tzaras in this week's Torah portion. And tzaras is something that is a little bit complicated, because people often view it as a physical calamity. In reality, it's a spiritual one. It's a spiritual disease that a person receives for various reasons. The Gemara in Arachin lists various reasons, including haughtiness, including murder. And another reason that it gives is when people speak inappropriately to each other, when people speak inappropriately about each other for no proper and spiritual reason. It's important that we speak about each other with respect. And part of the process of atonement that the person who receives tzaras is supposed to do is a person is supposed to give two birds. And Rashi, if you look there, Rashi says that we give two birds as offerings because birds represent pitputim. Chatter, mindless chatter. When a person speaks lashon hara, when a person speaks inappropriate gossip, we're mindlessly chattering. We forget who we are, as Rabbi Nachman said before, as the Shemishmol said before. We forget who we are, so we just speak mindlessly. And we need to give two birds in order to atone for the mindless chatter, for the pitputim. So the Sfas HaMas asks an unbelievable question. If you look in your 5661, in Mitzora Parsha Yod Gimel, I don't understand, says the Sfas HaMas. The tahara process, the kapara process for a mitzora is that they're supposed to kill one of these two birds and you're supposed to let the other bird go. Why do we let one bird go? If it's supposed to represent all of the negative speech that we've done, shouldn't we just kill both of them? Why do we kill one of the birds in order to gain atonement and we let the other bird go? They represent mindless chatter. Let's kill them both. We want to rid ourselves of that mindless chatter, of that horrid forgetfulness that we just experienced. But he says something so fundamental. He says the following: De isa bezora kadosh parshas tazria dan negoyim boin al mila bisha. V'al milin tavin d'asi lidei v'lo malal. Tzaras doesn't only come for saying something negative. Tzaras also comes for not saying something positive. We could have said something positive in that moment when we said something negative about somebody else. Our job isn't only supposed to sit down and do nothing all day or stay. Our job is supposed to spread positivity, spread light, spread HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message. And the moment that we start speaking negative things within that void that we just created, we not only did something negative, but we prevented godliness from being revealed. And that's why we let something go, says the Sfas Emes, in order to prepare us. It's in order to prepare our mouths to do what they're supposed to do, to speak words of Torah, to speak positivity, to help inspire other people. That is our job in this world. May we be zocha to spread God's light, to reveal His light, and to spread positivity amongst our community and within the world at large. Mashiach now, Bezras Hashem.